everybody, and welcome.
Good morning, teacher.
Welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion Sunday school meeting here at Wings Christian Fellowship. I'm going to ask Clyde to open us up in a word of prayer.
Precious Lord, we thank you for your presence here today as we truly gather in your name. So Father, just have your way. Holy Spirit, we wait on you to help teach us and lead us and guide us in all truth. So Father, we bless the name of Jesus high and above all. And as we raise your name, Lord, you draw men unto you. So be glorified in this day. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, I have a little quandary because I did prepare a few things about what we were going to talk about, but I didn't prepare anything else. But we do need to go, if we're not going to have that conversation today, we can go on and read further into 1 Corinthians.
Is that the 15th chapter?
Yes. Mm-hmm. If that's okay, we'll go ahead and do that. Because God is in control.
Yep, he sure is.
So, Clyde, do you remember where we left off?
Mike was telling me he thought 35. Is that right? That's where I got that wrong.
That's where I
wrote down to 44.
Yeah, I think that was the week
43.
Before.
43. What about 44? You got me down there.
44? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. Absolutely. This is, we were talking about the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. And here's 44. It is sown in a natural body. It is raised in a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so we would start at 45 and continue on down to... I guess
is everybody all right with all of that?
Actually, I wanted to go over that.
You'd like to go over that?
Yeah, just because,
it's beautiful the way it's said.
It means so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, not that the Bible all don't mean so much, mm-hmm. but this one here is speaking to what we should have clear understanding on.
Okay.
I mean, you know, if you don't care, I'm just going to read one paragraph. I'm going to use J.B. Phillips. And actually, I'm going to go back to 40. These are bodies which exist in the heavens and the bodies which exist in this world. The splendor of an earthly body is quite a different thing from the splendor of a heavenly body. The sun, the moon, and the stars all have their particular splendor. And one star difference from another in splendor. I know it's talking about stars, but we got a scripture that I've seen on whatever, is that Princeton Road going down toward Joanne Moore?
Yeah.
The heavens declare his glory. Now that fulfills the scripture as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. But the stars that it's talking about,
mm-hmm.
I think it's us.
It is.
I mean, just as clear as, to me, it's as clear as thing. That, anyway, that they're, because we're different. We are different.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, he that is joint to the Lord is one spirit. And that's where the body comes in. I mean, sometimes that makes me wish that we had more members so they would feel like they were included. And you're the sky, you're the star in the sky. The heavens declare it. And of course, anyway, I'll stop right there if you want to say something.
I mean, I can say something if you want to. The things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. And even the natural heavens, you know,
mm-hmm.
what did he tell Abraham that his descendants would be like?
Stars of the sky.
Stars of heaven.
Yeah.
And what are the scientists finding out now? That there's more than just this universe.
Yeah, they can't name it. They can't.
Multiples, million, barely looks, must be millions of universes right out there. And each one of those universes has their own stars and their own planets and their own everything, you know. So what does that tell you about the glory of God?
Right.
That tells you that it's so far beyond what man ever even imagined it was.
It's,
you know, not just looking at what we see, you know, it's so beyond that. So that tells us that the glory that he's going to reveal, not to us, but in us, is so beyond anything that we can think or imagine or anything else, you know.
Well, that when he talks about the stars, mm-hmm. and then there's another scripture that talks about the sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It'd be like the sands.
Something we can walk
seashore,
on.
Seashore, yeah, the sands, yeah. If you can number them, you can't number
them.
That's right. And you know, that just goes to tell you that this thing is way more and way bigger than we ever imagined, and you know, in our imagination. And God reveals it to us little by little,
right?
But not all at one time, because I don't think we could even contain it.
If right,
it blows us totally away. You know,
it makes you think.
What Jesus tell him? He says, "If I've told you of earthly things," he said, "how would you be if I told you of heavenly things?"
Oh,
you know, he hadn't even told them all the heavenly things.
Uh-huh.
You know, he blew them away with the earthly stuff, you know. And, you know, I mean,
I almost feel like when we hear that from the ministers that come in, used to come through the door, I almost feel like they were trying to impress us of where they were at. And I'm going like this, tell me where you're at in the earth.
You know, I was just going to say, we watched that movie last night. Did you notice how beautiful the ministry was, and that young man, that Lonnie or whatever his name was, how?
What was the movie?
It was
Jesus Revolution.
Yeah, Jesus Revolution.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how beautiful that ministry was until. There's always an until
you
in there.
See it creeping
until
in.
He began to say, "This thing is really all about me."
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, wow.
And let me tell you what, when you bring the me in or the I in.
Yes.
That was when I told Debbie, that's when he was excused.
He was. And he went on, I checked him out a little bit to find out what happened to him. He went on and he helped start the Vineyard, you know, and a couple other ministries out there.
Mm-hmm.
But his end was not very good.
Right.
Like Solomon.
Well, yeah, his end wasn't very good, and I won't go into that. But
I'll tell you what impressed me about that movie was, and I was going, yeah, I'm the one yelled, yeah. When the two elders and their wives got up and left, and the other elder stood there and went over and sat among them.
Sat
among them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I mean, he couldn't have done a better job of recognizing his place.
Right.
And when he recognized his place, I said, everyone watching this movie ought to realize that's all of our places, is to sit among them. Mm.
It was called Jesus Revolution, is what it was. And it was about the 70s, back during the 70s, when in California that big move started and all those people started getting baptized, all those young people and everything. And it was a tremendous move. I mean, it was...
It's a good movie.
It had to be God. I mean, just tremendous move of just thousands of kids getting saved, and the hippie kids, you know. And, you know, but the one guy that was kind of in the center of it, the crux of it, young guy, he began to get a little puffed up.
Oh, and he was so precious at the beginning.
Absolutely.
You think there'd be another move like that?
I think...
In this day and time?
I think that as the sons of God grow up, all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for that manifestation,
mm-hmm.
waiting for the full disclosing of their sonship. I believe as the sons of God grow up, and we're in the process of growing up, I believe that all creation is going to be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And part of our ministry is to tell them that they've been forgiven. They are forgiven. They don't. All they have to do is accept the forgiveness.
Believe.
You know.
Did you want to say something?
Just believe. That's all.
I do know that about a month ago, at the same place that this started out there, they had 5,000 people baptized in one day.
Yeah.
And there have been pockets, I guess.
Yeah. They thought they were going to have a few hundred, and they ended up with 5,000.
Was that where Rick Warren's at?
No.
I'll tell you what, he baptized them all, whoever would come. And he goes like this. After about 8 hours, he was wore out, and they were still over half to do. Mm. What got me was the thing is, I thought I said this to you last night. I think what you asked, buddy, could happen at any time, anywhere, because you know what? It don't depend on the people. It depends on the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you can plan it all you want. I don't think any of that was planned by man.
And the people's hunger. Because see, God moves and fulfills people's hunger. People's hungry.
So I say the answer to your question is, yeah, I think it can happen, mm-hmm. and I think it might already be starting.
But we
just haven't seen the fulfillment of it
right.
yet.
Yeah.
I think all we need to do is look inward and let it start within that us mm-hmm. as individuals. We won't have to worry about the body.
Mm-hmm. You got to remember last, was it last year, the place in Indiana where the girl at the university went in, started playing the piano, and then all of a sudden people started coming into the chapel, and it went on for a month.
All she did was sit down by herself and start playing the piano.
And God moved.
Mm. Well, see, that's where a lot of times we think that we have to do something.
Yeah.
Well, all you have to do is just be obedient to what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. And that's your part. You know, I've had people different times question even the things of this little church here, you know. And like I've told them, I said, you need to do what God's telling you to do. I said, if the people in here are doing what God's telling them to do, then that's what they're supposed to do. You know what I mean?
What did Jesus say to Peter? What is that?
Why?
Exactly.
Peter, well, there's some over there. There's this. And what did Jesus say?
People are looking for signs and wonders, and they're looking for the fishes and loaves all the time, see? And the thing about the fishes and loaves will come when God wants the fishes and loaves to come, mm-hmm. you know? And you're not going to trump them up. You're not going to make them happen. Mm-hmm. But what you need to do is what God directs you to
yes.
do. And if you do that part, you did your part.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do you can't do somebody else's part. I mean, you know, you see a movie like that and you think, oh my goodness, it'd be neat if the Lord would have me do something like that. You know, that goes through your mind. But no, God's got you right where he wants you right now.
Well, it's
do what he has you do where you are.
And you know what?
Whatever that is, you know.
If that's all you do, just like Smith Wigglesworth, go sit on a park bench. There's going
right.
to be no chance of you getting puffed up and
yeah.
thinking that it's all about you.
Yeah.
If what you do is what God told you to do, and it is minuscule amount in the process of the whole
right.
year.
Well, now, the thing about it is that you do have to be obedient to the
yes.
things the Lord wants you to do. If you're going to fulfill, you know, many are called and few are chosen. Well, the difference between being called and being chosen is the ones who are called, you have to answer the call. If you don't answer the call, you know, you can find a million excuses not to do what you feel like the Lord has called you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, well, what did the rich young ruler say? Suffer me to go bury my father first. What did Jesus say to him?
Let the dead
bury the dead. Come follow me.
Wow.
I mean, that's a strong word. But what was he saying? He was saying, if you don't know me, you're already dead. You're living in the realm of death. You're already dead. Until you know me, I'm the life. That's what he was saying.
Well,
I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He kept telling him.
When I said that, watched that movie last night, you got to remember the guy who was the star in that movie
uh-huh.
was Kelsey Grammer. You know, Kelsey Grammer's history is he was a druggie and on all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He was all of it. But if you see him now, he is constantly talking about what has happened in his life.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, he could, we're talking about the movie, he could have yielded to the elder, because the elders were saying, not in this church. They're making it, you know what? He didn't say it, but that's what he should have said. They're making us feel uncomfortable because there's so many of them. Yeah. Yes. But I want to tell you something. He said, and they're running the carpet. You know what the next scene is? There's a long line of people. The older people are getting there at normal time. But there's thousands of people in, I'm just throwing that number out there, thousands of people in line. And he's up there baptizing every one of them before they walk on the carpet.
Washing their feet.
And I'm going like, yeah. And they're back there and comes up walking. They walk around. And I go like this. Otherwise, he was taking everything that they said, making it in God, okay.
Yeah, because they said, you know, they all had dirty feet because they weren't wearing
shoes. So they just washed their feet.
And he was out there washing everybody's feet before they came into the church. The minister was.
Yeah.
You know.
He was a broken vessel.
He took their excuse away from them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, God has a way of taking your excuses away. You know what I mean? It's good. It was good. It's a good movie. It has a lot of truth in it. A lot of truth. But, you know, I believe there ultimately is going to come a people that grow up, and that's going to set creation free, you know, when that happens. I mean, that's what Romans 8th chapter is all about. And, you know, it's about reality breaking forth. And when it really breaks forth, what's to say will be just like it, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, going back to the 15th chapter, the 42nd verse, there are illustrations here of raising the dead. The body is sowed in corruption. We should never forget that. Mm-hmm. It is raised beyond the reach of corruption. Mm-hmm. We should never forget that. Woo! It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in splendor. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. We got to realize, forgetting those things that are behind us and pressing toward the mark. Jesus Christ is that mark. As there is a natural body, so will there be a spiritual body. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this.
Now, I have a question about that. There is a natural body, and there will be a spiritual body. Surely that's not two different bodies.
Well, can I tell you something?
Realm. Okay, go ahead.
Can I tell you an experience I had? When I first got saved, and, you know, got saved at home, had an experience with the Holy Spirit very, very strong, and I've even heard Miles say this, you know, at times. When the Holy Spirit first came into my life strongly, and I'm not saying came in, because I believe he was already there, because he is our very life, and we would just realize it. But I became aware of it, and I'm going to tell you something. It felt like sometimes when I'd move this way, it would be there, and when I'd move that way, it'd go that way. It was almost like I could feel this, the presence that strong, uh-huh. that we're... It was almost like I was moving out of it, but moving back into it.
He was balancing.
And I know that he let me experience that for a reason.
Wow.
And I'm gonna tell you, when I first got saved, and this is gonna sound, I don't know how it sounds to people, but I don't care how it sounds, it's the truth. Mm-hmm. When I first got saved and I began to seek the Lord at home in the bathroom sometimes after reading the word and all that kind of stuff. I was sitting in the bathroom one time, and I just go in there and flip the seat down and sit on the thing, because that was the only place I could get away from the kids and the noise and all that stuff and get really quiet and still. I'm sure they had to go to the bathroom sometime, but they didn't bother me. But anyway, that was my prayer closet, basically. And I was sitting in there, and I was complaining to God. I was kind of, you know, mumbling, saying, God, you know, I don't feel that much different, you know, and all this and that. And then it began to dawn on me what David did, how David praised the Lord, you know. Mm-hmm. and how that, you know, if you read the Psalms, David a lot of times is sort of complaining. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me and all that. Because the realization of God's presence in his life began to really hit him. And it dawned on me, why am I sitting here complaining and moaning and groaning when I should be praising you and thanking you, Lord? And I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. When I started doing that and praising the Lord, this is exactly what it felt like. It felt like somebody just put their hands on the side of my head. And I'm going to tell you what, that has never left me. That is still there. Whenever I begin to talk about the Lord or anything like that, when I wake up in the morning, if I start thinking about the Lord, that presence is there all the time. It literally feels like there's something around my head. Now that might sound crazy to people, but I'm just telling you. You know, when you see you see artist depictions of people in the Bible, and what do you see around their head?
A halo.
A halo-like, okay. I'm going to tell you what. I honestly can understand why the artist did that if they actually experienced anybody that had that situation happen to them. And it did happen. And it is there. I mean, I can feel that right now. I'll be honest with you.
I'm sitting over here thinking, when you get your head wrapped around it, that's what God was doing, is putting his hands around his head, mm-hmm. so he could wrap his head in him. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. I mean, I remember when I got saved, it was like this. And I'm just being honest with you, it was like this. I couldn't hear anything but the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't get baptized till the next night in the flesh. But I got baptized that night. I accepted the Lord in the Spirit.
For sure.
I mean, whoa.
Yes.
And I mean, I knew it. I mean, then I walked out among the people, and I looked up at the trees, and I started crying. Because I see the tree for the first time, that God had created that tree.
Yeah.
And then seeing that tree, I realized he created us, too. Well, anyway, I walked back, and I seen my mom, and I just walked up to her, and she was just crying her eyes out. Now, my mom was a shut-in when I was a kid. Her brother had brought her to camp. Now, a lot of people believe in chance and luck. I don't believe in either one of them. I believe in the authority of God, the King. He's all authority. All authority is given to Jesus on heaven and earth. So, I mean, she got to see her little baby get saved. That little baby was 18 years old then. But I was going to tell you, what would you trade? Because you're crying now. You know what you trade. I tell you what. I went to praying about Brother Shepherd, and at the time the Lord took him home, his grandchild was about dead. And knowing Brother Shepherd the way I do, I felt like the Lord told me, he asked me to spare the child and take him. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't do that? I tell you who would, a child of the King that was already in his kingdom. Yeah. You know, he didn't have to pass to go to the kingdom of God. I mean, I don't know how many people over the years had talked to me, I want to talk about Miles Shepherd. I said, okay. He goes like this, man, he had such an impression. This is people that he worked with and stuff like that. He said, had an impression on me. He goes like this. One day he goes like this, you know, I feel like I'm supposed to say something to you. He said, what's this? He said, you don't know Jesus Christ, do you? He said, no. Shepherd said, would you like to this very moment? He said, I said, yeah. And he said, he led me to the Lord immediately. He said, it wasn't that weeks down the road. It was immediately. Yeah. And you know what? I believe that's what God talks about us to be in season. In season is on call.
Yes.
We need to know that God is on call within us to fulfill everything in somebody else. God don't show you a need in somebody else for you to ignore it. Amen. We hear that? He shows you a need in somebody else because he's given you the authority and the ability to fulfill what they have need of. So, you know, even in the days, you know, Oscar, I think you quoted it last week, when you find a man in a fault,
yes.
Ye that are spiritual, restore such one.
Yes.
And I agree with it. Didn't say any child of the king or anything. It said a man.
Right.
So we should, you know, we need to get, I'm just saying it the way I feel it. We need to get out of our comfort zone, acting like it's got to be a part of the body. You know what? Like you said, they don't know they're part of the body because they don't know they're forgiven.
That's right.
But he's given us the spirit of reconciliation, and that's what we ought to impart to somebody else. My brother told me a story. I'll shut up right after this. My brother told me a story the other day. Actually, it was yesterday. He said, well, I taught my last Sunday school class last week. I go, you did? He goes, yeah. He said, I've been teaching for 35 years. I didn't even know he'd been there for 35 years. I said, 35 years? He goes, yeah. And he said, you know what I see? He goes, what's that? He said, on my last day, I seen the same class sitting there exactly like it was their first day. He said, God, I love my brother. He said, God did not give him the spirit of discernment not to see what he was seeing. He said, I cried in front of all of them. He goes like this. He said, and I thought, I've given them too much milk. He said, they never did choose the meat. Milk, you keep babies.
Well, can I say something?
He said that to you.
Yeah.
Can I say something there concerning that? I've had someone who used to go to church here say to me, you know, the same people are sitting around in Sunday school class, the same people are hearing the word over and over and over. I don't really see the fruit of that word, you know, going. And, you know, my reply to that is that God don't always let you see
right.
the fruit of what's
no.
happening in somebody else's life.
No.
He doesn't let you see what they're doing when they're outside of here. If you judge by what you see in here, yeah, there's just a small little group. And you know, we sit in here and we talk about the deeper things of the Lord a lot of times, or what we consider to be the deeper things of the Lord, and so on and so forth. But when you begin to judge with the seeing of the eye and the hearing of the ear, you're not going to judge righteous judgment. And I've used the example, and so have you, about that sister that used to come to church on the wings. I don't think I heard that sister ever testify. I don't think I ever heard her do anything. She'd come in and just sit there and listen and soak in the word, you know. And, you know, I mean, she'd say hi to you or something like that. But, I mean, nothing inside of the church. But Clyde was asked to do her funeral, and he asked me to come and take part in it, and we went and you wouldn't believe the people that came to that funeral
Pop-up
that
testimony.
Said that she had such an impact on their life,
oh,
and
yes.
that if she was sitting on the bus, inevitably she'd start ministering to somebody or whatever. And there was just hundreds of people there. I mean, mm-hmm. that place was totally full. It was a big church, was, too.
They came from California.
And there was
we did this in Avondale.
They came
from California just to talk about her.
And what I've tried to tell people concerning our assembly here, and I'm going to say our assembly is really the Lord's and it belongs to Him. We go on the internet. Now, if you just looked at the small group here and the small, you know, what you might think, oh, well, but praise God, there's, every time I see somebody that used to come to church here, the first thing they ask me, how many people you got?
Mm-hmm.
What's the numbers? The numbers, you know. And I've told them, I said, well, I will tell you this. I said, all I can tell you is that all of our messages in this Sunday school class go out on the internet every week. And I said, we used to be able to check it with the server we were with, and I don't know if we still can, but I don't know how to do it now. But I checked one time to see what kind of impact it was having out there. And I could go and check each sermon and each thing that people did and see how many people went on and listened to it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you that in a year's time, we were getting 30,000 hits of people listening. 30,000. Okay. Now, when the Lord gave me a prophetic word when I first got saved, And part of that prophetic word was that he had called me to be a prophet unto the nations. Now, I've never traveled out of the United States. Never have. Never been out of the United States. Matter of fact, until just a few years ago, I'd never been out of much more than Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee, you know. And then finally we started going to Florida once in a while. I have not been much around the United States. But I'm going to tell you, this word goes forth throughout the whole earth. Anybody who has a computer and they go on and they type in something, wing or wings or anything like anything about a wing, all they have to do is put wings in there or some kind of wing, and we pop up on the internet. And we were getting 30,000 hits a year, and 30,000 where they went on and listened. Okay, now I don't know what's happening now, and that's between God and you're not always supposed to know.
That's right.
I mean, those guys, when they were in California, they got a chance to see a lot of those people come forward.
Right.
Now they didn't always see what happened with them after that. You know what
right.
I mean?
That's right.
They saw a beginning. I feel like we were not called. The calling for this church that I felt like it was not to bring a beginning,
no,
but to take people into growing up. That was the thing God laid on my heart.
A watered garden.
To grow people up. And he gave me that scripture one time about when Joshua brought the people up to the promised land. He was camped in a place called Shittim. There was thorny, it meant thorny trees, thorny place. And sometimes I feel like there's been a lot of thorny stuff going around here over the years. I don't know how many times I've had people try to give me a hard time, you know, and people that were supposed to love me here, you know, you try to give me a hard time. And you know what? The Lord always gave me, he always worked it out to where by the time it was whatever they said to me or whatever, they went away sort of with their tail between their legs. And I didn't even do anything, but I just did what God told me to do in situations. I had a brother come to me one time, and I used to take up the offering years ago when the other brothers who did it didn't do it. Okay, when they weren't there or they were mad or off the platform or whatever was happening. Then I would take up the offering and go upstairs. The Lord laid it on my heart to never go upstairs with the money by myself. I never did. And I had Margaret say to me different times, she said to me, she says, why do you do that? Why do you always grab somebody out of the congregation and take them up there with you? I said, because I feel like that's what the Lord told me to do. A few years down the road, I had a brother come to me who had been in morning prayer meetings. And he said to me, he says, I'm just going to tell you a few of these things, just to let you know, it ain't all smooth sailing all the time when you're in leadership or anything.
Oh, no.
And his brother said to me, he says, you know, Oscar, he says, we was in the prayer meeting, one of the brothers in the prayer meeting, and usually when they say one of the brothers, it's usually that person that was saying it most of the time. But he said, one of the brothers in the prayer meeting was saying, they think something funny was going on with the money upstairs. And I said, well, I said, not that I know anything about. And they said, have you ever been upstairs alone with the money? Now, what was they doing?
Accusing you.
Yes, sir. And you know what I said? As a matter of fact, no, I never have been. I always take somebody up there with me. I stuck a pin in his balloon. God had me stick a pin in there,
yeah,
not me.
God knew. Yeah.
I've had that happen. I had another brother come to me one time. And this was his precious brother. And I think I'd said something to him he didn't like. You know, and he come to me and he says, in front of some other people, and he said to me, he says, there's too many bowlings on this on the checkbook. I said, oh yeah. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, there's too many Bowlings. I said, too many Bowlings? That's my last name. Okay. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, I just feel like there's too many Bowlings on the checkbook. I said, I said, let me tell you, here's who's on the checkbook. Audrey, Brother Eddie, Jeff, and Mark. Now, Audrey, Brother Eddie, and Jeff
are all kin to each other.
All family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm not on the checkbook. Even when I'm not on the checkbook to this day. Mm-hmm. I'm not on any of the accounts to this day. You know. Why? Because God so planned it that
right.
way. Nobody can ever say, well, Oscar's been stealing the money. Well, if I stole it, I'm pretty sharp because I'm not in any of those accounts or anything else. Now, I will say this, because God put me in a position of authority, if I tell somebody that we need to do something financially or something, I've always told Margaret this, I said, the day that they don't do what I feel like the Lord's telling me to tell them to do, I said, that's the day that I walk away. Mm-hmm. I said, because that'll tell me that the Lord don't want me doing this no more. Mm-hmm. You know.
Let me go back and explain. Chuck said that to me. I felt immediately the word come upon me and told him, first of all, God's word never returns void.
That's right.
I said, you gave him the word.
Right.
I said, you don't have to look by the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear. God's word is doing a work in there that you haven't been able to see.
Yeah.
I said, what you need to see is God's word working. Mm-hmm. I said, you missed your focus. I said, you need to see that. Pay attention. I've done so many graduation ceremonies that people have come up to me over the years and said, well, that person wasn't a bit more walking with the Lord and all this other stuff. And I'm going like this. I said, well, I preach the word. And he said, what's the word says? I said, well, actually, the word says salvation's of the Lord, not of the Lord, you and them.
That's right.
Well, he didn't care for that. You know what? I didn't care that he didn't care for it. Mm-hmm. The whole thing is we need to stay what the word says. Doesn't it say that the word would, that none would perish?
Yeah.
That's what the word says.
So just because
I see, we don't get no vote in that. And I'm so thankful we don't. That's no lie. I mean, you know, and that's part of growing up.
Yes.
To be honest with you. That's part of growing up. You quit doing that thing. We need to quit being so getting offended by everything. Mm-hmm. And I go like this. My goodness, Jesus, nothing offended Jesus. You know, he knew he was going to get those stripes beat on him. He knew that this was going to happen. He even knew when Peter was going to say, no, not so, Lord. Don't let that, you know, he's talking about his resurrection, talking about dying, talking about leaving him. He knew that part. One time I was at a ball field and I was playing for the church and the guy says, well, I'm going to ask all the players, what's your favorite scripture? And as soon as the first one said John 3:16, and he quoted it, all of a sudden four or five guys picked up on that and said, yeah, John 3:16. He said, what's yours, Clyde? I said, well, you're not going to believe this. He said, what's up? I said, Romans 8:18, ain't that right? Anyway, so, and he goes like this. So help me. Here's a guy that's got authority, and he looks at me. What in the world is Romans 8:18? For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory of God, which shall be revealed in us. And I said, see, I understand. Jesus suffered for me. But he also glorifies.
Oh, yes.
And I tell you what, if that's going to happen in us, we got to understand there's a place for suffering. And we need not to throw it away. We need to say, praise the Lord. We need to see him high and lifted up in it. Because you know what? Unless he went to Calvary, which he did.
Yes.
Unless he bled, which he did, we wouldn't know anything about that. And by the way, I'm not leaving raised from the dead, which he did. But shall quicken your mortal bodies. Come on, we live in a mortal body. Things are going to happen. But of course, you got most of you know that I, in his hand, is his plan. And when we are no more, we're still in his hand.
Yes.
Yes.
I believe that with my whole heart.
Do you know, I was talking to Brother Eddie, and I saw this change in my dad. And I said, my dad ain't saying that he's accepted the Lord or saying anything. But I was telling Brother Eddie how my dad is altogether different. Because I got saved and I came back from California and I lived with them for 7 years. And had such a beautiful relationship, way better than years before that I had with him. And he said, Brenda, your dad feels that he should have been the one saved way back then and led you to the Lord instead of him looking on your life and seeing the difference and coming to the Lord. So know that he's not going to say to you, well, Brenda, I've accepted the Lord. He's not. But you're going to look and see, and you see the change.
In oh, yeah.
Do you know when my father passed, he had a massive heart attack, 62 years old. We met so many people at his service. It was so packed at the visitation. People crying and telling us things that my dad did for them. Went to visit them when they were sick. Went all the way to Columbus. Went down the southern part of Ohio to a service. Brought food to their house. Did this when we was five of us kids. It wasn't much. And when they had, you know, afterwards when they had their, I don't know what's called, the reception when they leave the cemetery on their the cars in the, and go out to the cemetery, where the funeral home was, it was blocks up here on Main. Then it turned, when we turned on way down, blocks down, they were still coming out of the parking lot, and one of the directors told us, this is the largest, at that time,
right.
1979, that was the biggest they'd ever had. He wasn't a councilman. He wasn't in politics. He wasn't in it. He loved the Lord, and he did, and he loved people.
That's a fulfillment of the scripture.
Yes.
That Jesus. I mean, you know, when people, well, we've talked about it in here, when they were talking about if you have hope in this life only, you're most miserable.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, when you have hope in Him, who is our hope, when you have that hope in Him, what happens is, you don't never look to get credit for anything you do. Matter of fact, you almost put, let's not talk to nobody about that. You know, because if you get credit for it, I mean, I know some people that do this. They want credit immediately for something. And I mean, me and my brother has talked a lot. I said, my gosh, I don't want credit for anything. I said, if you get credit in this life, your reward's already been on display.
That's right.
But where's it supposed to be on display? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the God of glory. He's the one that said, you know, I actually believe we're actually going to get a chance to hear that. This is my child, whom I'm well pleased.
Yes.
I mean, he said it to Jesus. He wanted to say it to us.
I was, you know, I don't know if everyone had known about Betty having a stroke.
Yeah, lately? Yeah. No, I didn't tell anybody.
Oh, he didn't tell. Anyway, last Monday she had a massive stroke.
Yeah.
And she's been unconscious, unresponsive, even to this day. But 2 weeks before then, she was telling Laura, her niece, she was looking and said, I see my brothers and my sisters. You know, afar off, not a little. Yeah, they have put on past, but they come from a big family. Mm-hmm.
Is she in a coma now?
Yes.
She can hear everything you say?
She is, and we've been praying with her, talking to her, and they're wondering, they know she's ready to go, and there's nothing they can do, and they've already got an NPO, or, you know, in do not resuscitate, DNR, do not resuscitate, Matt. And hospice is in, and she's resting, still, you know, just sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And around the clock, we're taking turns around the clock with her. The one day, me and Buddy was there.
I was praying, Lord, you know, hey.
I love this woman.
Yeah. I read for him to take her, you know, let her lie there.
But. It said, she's in God's hands.
Yes, she is.
Oh, yeah.
Like you said, in his hand is his plan. Do you know the last thing she kept talking about when she came here to the last services with us? She kept trying to tell us how complete, kept talking about complete. And I know she was seeing that we're complete in him.
Yes, so, amen.
Me and Buddy was there, and I was playing The Goodness of God. I was playing by C.C. Winer. I went over there and I had a play in a person she could hear.
And I started praying over her. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God just filled and flowed. And I know she was feeling this. I felt his presence, and all I could do was praise him.
One thing I will say to you when you go in there, start telling her it's okay to go.
Amen.
Keep telling her that. Because sometimes the Lord will keep having somebody stay until other people have let go, you know, when they're willing to let go.
It's been coming to me yesterday and today. Because remember, you know, Jan up in Michigan, that had a stroke.
Right.
They talked almost every day before either one of them had any, and Betty had any problems, you know, with the blood clot and all. They talked on the phone and they prayed together. They went to meetings together. And I have just felt like we need to take the phone and put it up to, and let, I have to call her daughter, see if she is, because she talks.
So she can talk to Jan.
So Jan, she could hear her voice. That kept coming to me. Yes.
Sometimes they're waiting for that last person to come.
I just
feel
like she's waiting on somebody. Right. And I said, Bobby, on her birthday, they did FaceTime with him. And she actually said his name. You know, she don't say people's names.
Did she?
And she said, Bobby. This is July 26th. How FaceTime. She saw him. When we went to see her on her birthday, and we were coming down the hall, because Derek and his wife come to pick her up and take her to dinner, to lunch. She was introducing me and Buddy, I know, to this one nurse. And she said, my brother. And my sister. And she was, because she don't really communicate. But when we pray together, I'm going to tell you, she prays. I'm telling you. I just keep feeling that. So I'm about there today. We're going to go there after we go to Carl's thing and then go out to the hospital.
I'll tell you what, I had my oldest sister, my dad's oldest daughter. She was in a coma. Everybody's over to their visit. I don't know what happened here. I honestly don't. But she had two daughters, and somehow they don't care for Uncle Clyde, which that's all right. I mean, that's different cross. Anyway, but they left to go to lunch, and I looked at my two remaining sisters there. I said, can I show you something with her? They go, yeah. I said, watch her face. She's in a coma. I get next to her ear. And I say, Robert.
Yes.
Robert's her husband. Been gone for years. She starts smiling.
Yeah.
And I go like this. They go, oh my.
Oh yes.
I go, well, she's in God's presence, but she's thinking about Robert. Mm-hmm. And I go like this. And I said, it's a shame that the girls won't let her go. I go, but they don't know where she's already at. And so my sister, the other two sisters said, Clyde, stay here. We got to do this when they're here. I said, well, they don't want me in there. And they came back and they told her, you need to bring Uncle Clyde in here. They go, what? I said, you'll find out exactly where your mom's at. Well, they cried and said, come on in. I got down and I did that, and man, her face just lit up, smiled ear to ear. She never opened her eyes. I said, she's with your daddy. And I got like this, and I said, you know, it's up to you, but she's my mom. I let her go. They let her go.
I used to take care of him. He used to be a supervisor at Dracken, and then after they closed and everything, and she would go with me, she would sing to her, Romeo, what's his name? And Shirley, I remember you danced, Shirley would say, she had dementia.
Yeah.
It was getting worse. And one day we were there and singing, I was doing her hair, and she said, I'm having so much fun. Romeo was so, yes she did. Mm-hmm. And then another, when he passed, he was living with her, she got worse and had to go in the nursing home. And the brother-in-law, he was good. She's little. So Atlanta has experienced many things. And the brother was here from California, and he said, look at that little soul. She went over, he was there, do you remember? He was in a hospital bed, and she went over and sat there with him. And I don't know what she was saying.
I used to love me some Romeo.
Yes, and she was saying, talking to him. You know, how old were you? Real little. And she was talking to him, and his brother started crying. He had come from California. Said, look at that little soul over there with my brother. And tell you, you don't know, but my sister Sonny, she called Audrey all the time. I didn't know that, Audrey told me. And she lived in London, had a brain tumor, and then she lived for a year. And when she was passing, I thought I might have probably already shared this. And God said, go over and tell her. He said that this is a way she's not been, had gone before, and that she was fearful. And he said, go over and let her. My mom and all of them were sitting here, and I was standing looking out. I could see the sun shining in from the east, from the room across the hall. And he said, go tell her that I'm with her.
Yes.
She'd been in a coma for a couple months. And when I walked over to her, Sonny is what we always called her, her son was on the left side holding her hand, and his wife is a registered nurse in the at nursing home, was on the, taking her vitals. And when I walked over to her, and I bent down like this, and I said, Sonny, she opened her eyes and looked directly in my face with recognition.
Right.
And I said, God said to tell you, you have nothing to fear. He is with you. I can't explain to you how. She closed her eyes. I felt her leave her body.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt it. Felt it out of my hand. I had my hand on her.
Praise God.
And my sisters and them, after the funeral, they said, what did you say to Sonny? Because when you walked over here, you walked over the determination. We knew you would say, my other sister said that you were saying something to her. And I told them what I said. They said they saw the countenance on her face change. They said, oh, see, people, I tell
praise
you.
God.
And I just, with Betty, Betty was my spiritual mother.
Yes.
I'm happy for her that she's going to, you know, she's transitioning. But I've been missing her a while because I remember my Tommaso wrote this show, the last Samurai. When, I don't know if y'all have ever seen it or heard of it, you saw it. And then one, and when Tom Cruiser talked to the one samurai who was gonna be the last,
one,
he said, I will miss our conversation. I'll tell you how I missed Betty's conversation. We would pray together. I remember there was 2 years, we went nowhere, we wasn't going anywhere. And we prayed together, got together for Sunday, we went to the park. I can't tell you the things that God revealed and spoke to us. So we would call Jan and Ron, and we would tell them the scriptures and what God was showing us that day. Their minister preached it that day, in Michigan, what God was showing us. I've missed our conversations.
Well, I always look like Betty's in a place of intervention for you and for all of us.
Yes, yes.
Those that have gone before us.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
Well, there are heavenly hosts around about us. There's a heavenly host around now.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
Heavenly hosts right there.
Yes. Brenda, would you close us with a
word? Oh,
we have got the anointing on
you
today.
Give you praise, oh God.
Father,
that you so have blessed us and are blessing us, my God, revealing yourself to us and in us and through us, we give you praise, oh God. As we go to this next service, my God, may you be glorified.
Yes.
I thank God for my little Savannah here with us. I know this was God ordained this day, Father, and her little son. Father, I thank you and give you praise. And ask that we continue, my God, to be a blessing wherever we are, to whomever we meet. For we ask you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.